Hey everyone, I'm Damara West and I'm founder of Be Well, Beautiful Woman, where we help female leaders and entrepreneurs to center their joy so that they can have an abundant life in every single way possible. I come to you today to bring you the Women's Liberation Summit, where we are dedicated to helping women claim their authentic power so that they can create life on their own terms. And I'm privileged to be in the presence of Dr. Erica Matluck. We have partnered in the past and she is just chocked full of all kinds of insight when it comes to holistic modalities. And so you're definitely going to be able to learn from her in tons of ways. So get your notebook ready. Let me tell you what you're in for when it comes to Dr. Erica. Dr. Erica Matluck is a modern medicine woman and the creator of Seven Senses, a holistic framework for healing and transformation. She is trained as a naturopathic doctor, a family nurse practitioner, a Reiki master, and a multidisciplinary yoga instructor. Combining over a decade of experience working in conventional and alternative medicine, she brings a truly holistic lens to well-being, addressing the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual aspects of health. Ancient wisdom and Eastern philosophy, thread through all of her work, which has been featured in Harper's Bazaar, Mind Body Green, Well and Good, Vogue, and Women's Health. Erica, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Gosh, I'm so excited. So let's just jump right in because I know we have so many things to talk about. And so the first thing that we're going to explore just has to do with your own liberation story, right? We all have one that led us to do this work. So talk to us about what your liberation story is, or at least aspects that you want to share today.
Yeah, I love the way you put it as a liberation story. I think about my life and my journey as so dynamic that the first place my mind goes to is it's a number of liberation stories, right? And my becoming is constantly happening. And there have been multiple sort of pivotal points in my life that I could sort of define as liberation stories. So I'm going to tell you about two. The first one was very early in my life, and it was really sort of the thing that planted the seed that became the work that I do and really the focus of my quest in life, and that is healing. And so my mother was diagnosed with a terminal lung cancer when I was 10 years old. She passed when I was 11, and it really, you know, is... now as a new mother myself, it feels very, very sad that I lived the bulk of my life without a mother in physical form. But this really did open up a lot for me. This really planted the seed for me to spend a good part of my life exploring other ways of healing. It's sort of like ignited my interest in the unseen world and the mystical arts, having my mother on the other side from a very young age. And so I think of this as a liberation story because an event in my life that really could have ended up having like a negative impact or sort of an impact that made me contract and be drawn into my wounds really became the thing that helped me find who I am and step deeper into it in a big way that has really shaped my path and brought me to places that I feel really, really grateful for and led me to do work that I feel like has both been impactful in my own little world and the greater world around me. So I feel really good about that. It also really taught me what it means to be raised by a village. I had my father, but I also had a number of women who were friends of my mother's, who were aunts, who were related in some way that really helped raise me. And I'm really grateful for every one of them.
Yeah. So, you know, before we dive into the second story that you're going to gift us with, this is so powerful what you're sharing that you could have seen it very differently. And that would have been completely justified, right? There are a lot of things that happened to us that we could see as tragic, that we could see as something to keep us bound. And I think what you're offering us to ponder is that no matter how life-shattering something is, there are beautiful things that are being called to emerge from it for our lives. And so who would have known that, you know, the loss of your mother, this sacred person, you know, there's nothing like a mother. And, you know, of course, I love men and fathers are amazing, but there's nothing like a mother. And the fact that you were able to see it that way at such a young age and be able to know the beauty that was surrounded by you, it was almost like your mother was, her arm was around you with the village. Yeah, she wasn't here in physical form, but what I feel like the essence of what you're saying is that once you got still, you were able to see, oh my gosh, my mother is here in all of it. My mother is helping to orchestrate and support and carry my life. And that's such a powerful thing for us to ponder related to any challenge that maybe we've experienced that is keeping us bound and less than what we were created to be because we simply haven't been able to see the beauty yet.
Yes, and it was definitely a process for me to get there. But I think when we're talking about liberation and what liberation means in the context of healing, I think you're really sort of, what you're saying resonates deeply for me. It's like that moment when we decide to move out of victimhood and use whatever tragedy or trauma or thing that happened that as like a springboard for our own growth and our own becoming in the direction that we want to grow. And to me, that's liberation and healing. It's not always time to be liberated, right? There's a time to grieve and there's a time to contract and there's a time to go deep into the wounds and sometimes into the victimhood. Sometimes that's really a piece of our healing, but the liberation part is when we decide to move out of that into something new.
Wow, that was so beautiful that there's not always the time to be liberated. Because I do think sometimes the opposite side can be that we're just like moving. And then all of a sudden, the body shuts us down because we haven't dealt with the things that we need to deal with. Or it can show up in all kind of tricky ways because whatever we're seeking is really seeking us. And it's going to find us in whatever ways in which it needs to find us to give us an opportunity to liberate. So that was such a beautiful description, right? And a position to take that, like, yes, let's talk about liberation, but let's talk about the process by which sometimes we get there, which is not always easy, right? When we're talking about that really, really deep work.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Yeah, and that was an interesting interpretation because when I referred to time, I meant there's like a time to sort of be in the wound and then a time to liberate from the wound. But I you picked out there, which is also very true, is sometimes we are moving too fast to actually like be witness to the process. Mm. And that's a very common thing today, right? That we don't actually get to sort of have that moment of being in the wound and become aware of it and actually move out of it with intention because we're moving too fast.
That's so good. Thank you. So I know that you were going to gift us with another liberation story that has been really pivotal for you.
Yeah, and this is a brief one, and it's more recent and perhaps more relatable to a lot of your listeners. You know, for me, I started my journey as a practitioner in more of the healing arts. I was a massage therapist, a Reiki master, did a lot of the more woo-woo stuff. And then my journey took me through naturopathic medical school and to do a postdoc nurse practitioner certificate. And I worked in conventional medicine for about a decade before I got to a point with it where I felt too constricted as a practitioner by the conventional system and the environment in which I was working. And this is my more recent liberation story. In 2018, I took that leap. I made the jump out of my conventional job where I had benefits and a stable paycheck into entrepreneurship so I could actually really express myself as a healer, as a practitioner, and bring in all the different tools and the philosophy that is true for me, the one where I get to synthesize all the different perspectives that I've learned from and all the things that have impacted me and really sort of like give my offering to the world. Mm-hmm. And it was quite a process, as I think you know, as an entrepreneur, it's hard to say goodbye to that guaranteed paycheck, to the benefits, to the structure, and really sort of like stand on your own and do your work in the world. So that was very scary and very liberating for me.
Yeah. Well, I love that, you know, you talked about your first one being this really deep, deep, deep connection, right? And losing this deep connection very early in your life. And, you know, you're giving us this personal example, which so many of us have personal examples of times of trauma, right? And grief is a form of trauma. And also, right, in talking about in more practical, you know, like professional terms, yeah, like stepping into it, being an entrepreneur, even with all that you know, and this is what's so inspiring, because a lot of times, you know, we're looking at what's being presented, like, oh, this person's like, they've landed, whatever that means, right? But what we don't know is the backstory. We don't know all the things that happened to that point, all of the work that we've done. And I love that, you know, even though you didn't say this, everything that you did and the fact that you started as a woo-woo practitioner, right, as you said, and then went into more conventional forms of medicine and said, oh, no, it's not that either. But actually, I'm going to combine both of these worlds. Both of these worlds are meaningful worlds. And the best way that I know how to heal people is to bridge these worlds together. And there's no way you could have known that when you started off as a woo-woo practitioner, or even when you went and you became a doctor and you worked in the field for 10 years. But it was all of those experiences collectively that led you to 2008, where you had the courage to say, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to trust that source, universe, God is going to catch me, right, as I am co-creating this. And so it's just a reminder that, you know, particularly for someone like you who has, you know, an immense amount of education, and we think, oh, you know, you're a doctor, why would you walk away from being a doctor? Well, because it wasn't in alignment, right? Being, you know, having a holistic viewpoint was what felt most at home to you. And it's so beautiful that you were able to find that eventually through these experiences. And so, you know, for those folks who are listening can relate to that, trust the process, trust that everything that we have experienced is a part of the collective to get us to where we are right now. And, you know, and that's waiting, right, as you said, to be a witness to our own evolution. It's calling us to be a witness to that in part because of our work. So that was just so beautiful, because a lot of times we have all these ideas, right, about what it means to be successful. And the fact that you decided for yourself every step of the way and immerse yourself in it. And then when you realize that it wasn't connected, you decided something differently. And so that's just beautiful that you're displaying, right, the power to choose in so many parts of your life.
Well, I think it's also really important for your listeners, and it's important to me to also respect the constriction that often leads to the liberation, right? And sometimes it takes those moments. I remember in the years leading up to when I left that job, there were multiple moments where I was like, I know this isn't aligned, this doesn't really feel good, but it wasn't quite time yet. And it wasn't quite time yet because I was still learning and I was still growing in that role. Yet I also felt this constriction because I couldn't fully be myself. And I want to share that with your listeners because I know probably a lot of people are in that part of the process where it's so uncomfortable because it's like, I feel constricted. I don't feel like I can fully be myself. I don't feel liberated. I want to get to that point of liberation, but I also know that it's not time yet. And how do I deal with that part of the process? Mm. And you know, that for me, how I dealt with that part of the process was waking up every day, acknowledging that that's where I was, acknowledging that I wasn't going to be there forever, and focusing on what I was still gaining. I'm still learning here. I'm still growing in this, and I'm still choosing this. And then I found some degree of liberation in the fact that I was making a conscious choice to stay in that position, even though I knew I wasn't fully aligned with it, because I knew it was leading me to something greater. Mm. And that's also a form of liberation, yeah, right? Even when you're to actually find peace in the constriction.
Yeah. So this is good. And before we jump to the next question, I just want to say that, you know, that's one of the, I'm doing this Let's Liberate challenge right now. And that's one of the focuses, right? That no matter where we're at in our lives, and you nailed it, you knew that you weren't going to be in the position that you were in forever, but you knew that you needed to stay there long enough to where you knew that it was time. And you were able to find gratitude every step of the way. Now, I'm not saying that every moment of every waking day you find yourself in gratitude mode, but what you're acknowledging, right, is that, gosh, you know, I'm here and I could focus on the fact that I don't want to be here, or I can focus on what it means for me to be here. I can focus on the beauty that's going to come from whatever is being birthed from this experience. And that, so that's so, so good. And I know that that's going to resonate with the audience. So let's talk about, you know, what does it mean to have a truly holistic lens when it comes to well-being? So what does it mean to bring this lens to the concept of well-being?
Well, I can tell you what it means for me. And I think that it means different things. It means it's a sort of an individualized thing. And it's an important question because if you talk to 20 different practitioners, you might get 20 different definitions or just like 20 different ideas of what it looks like in practice. And for me in practice, to be holistic is to be balanced. And it means to touch on both all four quadrants of the self, as I like to call it, the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. And to understand that the way that we perceive both ourselves and reality through those four different aspects of ourselves, it's different, mm-hmm. right? And so to have the awareness of how I'm experiencing the world at every moment allows me to, it's like knowledge is power. When I understand that I'm having a physical experience that I want to change, then I also can pull from physical tools to change that experience. But when I start pulling from physical tools to change my emotional experience, sometimes that doesn't fit as well. And so for me, this idea of the holistic self is really understanding that we have four different quadrants to ourselves and understanding how they work so we can respond to them and we can respond to how we're experiencing our lives and use that toward where we want to go. Mm. You know, and then I add to that the experience of self itself changes depending upon our perspective. And I use the chakra system a lot in my work as a way to sort of like make a very complex concept simple. And what I mean by that is if I'm in the lower three chakras, I'm really looking at experiencing myself as the separate self, as Erica, as the, you know, my boundaries end with my skin, maybe my emotional field. And when I'm in the upper three chakras, the throat, third eye, and crown, self is oneness. Mm. So I am you, you are me. Liberation means something very different because I'm not liberated unless you are liberated. And, you know, at the level of the third eye and the crown, that includes all beings everywhere. It includes the celestial world. It includes the earth. And I, as a person, I'm not liberated unless the earth is liberated. Mm-hmm. So sort of understanding what perspective we're coming from is very important in the discussion of what is holistic.
Mm-hmm. In my yeah. So this is so deep, right? Because oftentimes what I find is that healers, light workers who are doing, you know, maybe similar work. And when I say similar, not, you know, within your realm necessarily, but let's say they're a Reiki practitioner, or, you know, maybe they're focused on physical health and what we put into our body. And what you're saying is that within these four dimensions, it's not necessarily, and I love how you broke it down, the bottom three, the top three. I think, you know, I'm a Reiki master. I believe that we talked about that. And But what you're saying is that, no, this is like so much bigger than us, right? And I love that you talked about the bottom three, because that's the foundation, right? And then the top three, that's at a deeper level. Right now it's about our connection, and that's usually where it stops. And you're saying, well, no, we've got some other layers that we want to consider in order to go as deep as we can within our level of consciousness. And so oftentimes with healers, we're compartmentalizing. I just want to focus on this. I just want to focus on that. And what you're saying is that no, in order for you to have a true sense of well-being, we've got to consider all of it, and even beyond, right, the crown, even beyond that, and how the crown is connected to, I don't know, infinity. I'm not sure exactly what your take is, right? That's my, you know, my minimized way of talking, my watered down way of talking about it. But I love this. And, you know, for listeners to consider their life, not just, you know, based on what you've offered us, the bottom sphere, the top sphere, but even beyond that, right? So if we're really talking about going deeper, and I think even finding more and more of our opportunities to evolve as humans. And I know that evolution can come a lot of different ways, but what you're inviting us to do, I feel like, is much like hearing Dr. Beckwith talk about how we are very limited in our ability to manifest because we're doing it at such a surface level. And what you're saying is that let's go beyond that surface. Let's go as deep as we can and understand the ways in which we are, in the ways in which there are infinite possibilities for our lives and our connection to this, our inner world and our outer world. That was so powerful, Erica.
Well, I'm saying let's experience all of it, right? And there's a time and a place for all of it. And yes, it's exciting to go to those infinite, limitless places. And there's an aspect of liberation that is that, right? But then I'm also saying it's also okay to not be there. It's okay to be stuck in the separate self. It's okay to be, you know, digging into the old childhood wounds that have us feeling victimized or have us feeling so constricted. And what I hope for people is not that I want everyone to get to this, wow, wonderful infinity, you know, place of higher knowing. But like, I want us to be able to access all these different perspectives and know where we are at all times and be able to choose where we want to be, yeah. Right? So there's an aspect of healing that has to take place in that separate self.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And that's beautiful too. So, you know, I think there are a lot of practitioners out there that I see that like really are focused on ascension, right? Let's get up here. Let's get to this unity consciousness place. And that's a really beautiful thing, but we can't bypass the hard work. We also can't bypass the trauma and the wounding and the fact that we are here in bodies and we have limitations and boundaries. And so what liberation means to me is being free to experience ourselves as all of it. Mm-hmm. And to sort of have the awareness that we are all of it and know where we are at all times and make sure that that's where we want to be.
Yeah, this is so good. And, you know, and you said, I love that you're just normalizing wherever people are is where you are. And let's celebrate that. And also acknowledging some of the hard work and the foundational, those first three chakras, right? Because you can't get to this space of, you know, beyond self without laying the foundation. And so you can't get to your third eye energy, you know, not the way in which you're, you know, intended to without this foundation. So I love that, you know, and this invitation to just discover where are you right now? And let's figure out if you don't want to be there, let's get you out of there. Right. And there's lots of ways that, you know, folks can work to cultivate their own healing and get support from other people, you know, like yourself, in order to really tap into that. So that was so good. So, you know, what's so interesting is that this whole topic of holistic healing and well-being or healing and liberation, they don't always go hand in hand. And so even though I feel like we've explored it somewhat, I would love for you to speak a little bit more to how healing makes us feel liberated.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that for me, to some degree, the definition of liberation for me is to be free from constriction, and also to sort of like be at peace with whatever is coming at us, right? Whatever is provoking us, rather than it pushing us over, we can actually let it flow through us and still stand our ground, right? In some ways, I love the analogy of a tree, particularly with what we were just talking about in the seven chakras, but it's like a tree can only grow so high as the roots go deep, right? And it can only extend its branches and its limbs to a certain radius. It has to be supported by the root system down below. And, you know, so to be liberated in a sense, it's this ability to move freely without limitation. But I also think, like we said earlier, there's a part of liberation that it starts with constriction, right? So something starts the process of us liberating ourselves. And I'm sort of thinking out loud here, but in a way it's like we're born liberated. I mean, as you know, I have a 9-month-old son, and watching him move through this process has been really, really cool, because it's like we're born as liberated beings. We're completely connected to mom, and we don't even know the boundaries of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I've watched him discover himself, right? As a baby, we discover our bodies. Oh, this is my hand. This is my foot. But like, we don't actually know how to use the body yet. We don't know how to control ourselves. And it's frustrating. and it's we're constricted, and we grow into this body that we don't know how to use, and it's really uncomfortable. And babies communicate that to us, you know, and they don't really have a lot of means of communication, but we can see that if they're constricted by the body, and then we watch them learn to use the body, the technology of the body, and they say, oh, wow, I want to go see that thing over there, and I can actually build the strength in my leg muscles to get on my hands and knees and crawl there. And then slowly we learn to do that. What's interesting, I think, as adults, is we have this idea that like babies are developing so fast and they're learning to use the technology that they are. And then it's almost like we have this idea that that stops at some point, and we just know how to use ourselves as self. But it's really not true. It's like we're continuing to learn about ourselves, mm-hmm. to learn the technology of self. And sometimes it takes us in the direction of the mind, and sometimes it takes us in the direction of the heart and our emotional sphere, and sometimes it takes us in the direction of our energy or frequency or vibration. But this quest to master the technology of being human never ends. And to me, that's sort of why liberation is a process. And throughout that process, we hit points where we feel constricted. And then we use that constriction to fuel us in a direction that liberates us, in a direction that helps us transcend our limitations. And to me, that's healing. Mm. That's what healing is. It's saying like, okay, this is uncomfortable. This is a wound. This is a sensation or a feeling that I don't like. And like, let me sort of figure out how I can use myself, my environment, my relationships, my reality, my tools to move beyond that, to create something new. Yeah. And I like to think from a holistic perspective, we create through the mental and spiritual aspects of ourself. There, like, we project our reality through them, and then we experience what we've created through sensation or physical and emotions. And then we sort of say, okay, I need to sort of move or change something because it's not aligned or it's not taking me where I want to go. And then we restructure. And once again, we use our thoughts, our beliefs, our energy to sort of project something new. And then we get feedback about what we created and we assess whether or not it's right. Mm-hmm. And so I think about liberation and healing, not just as this like unidirectional path of growth, but as sort of like an expansion and a contraction, give and a take.
Ooh, this is so good. And, you know, I was just talking to someone about how even as we liberate and we evolve, you know, depending on where we're at in our lives, and if we're wanting more, there's going to be more that we have to work through. And I think it speaks to this contraction part. And a lot of times we want to be on this linear path. We want to arrive somewhere. And what you're saying is that this liberation journey is a lifelong journey of expansion and contraction. And I also loved, right, and you gave us so much more about your precious little boy, and we're going to be talking about motherhood in just a minute, and how, you know, like, kids are born free. And a lot of times, and I love that you said that, you know, and they're trying to find themselves. And part of the way that they find themselves and like stay whole and stay in that liberation spirit is by also having as much freedom as possible in their world to explore in a safe way. Because, you know, fear is not something that kids are born with. They are taught to be afraid. They're taught so many things. And, you know, it's making me think about my daughter. And I remember she was three, and she was two or three, and we were at this event, and first time she had been to a pool, and we hadn't done any, you know, swim lessons yet. And in her mind, that water was her oyster. And she was going to get in it by any means necessary. And it didn't matter because, and to me, that's liberation, right? It's like the world is mine to create in, and we lose that, right? We lose that through grief. We lose that through trauma. And so it's really an invitation to reorient back to ourselves. But even what you're also saying is that yes, and to go even beyond that to places that we never thought that we could go, because it's not in our level of consciousness in this physical form. Oh, that was so good. So let's talk about motherhood. I know that motherhood has been one of your greatest joys. And you had your first child, your 9-month-old baby boy, after the time that you were 40, right? And so tell us about that journey and what has been liberated about being a mom post 40 for the first time.
Oh man, so much. As a mother, you know, I mean, the first thing I'll say is becoming a mother, I had no idea. I had no idea how much mothers do. I had no idea what true devotion was. And I think that's the piece that's been really, really liberating, is to devote myself so fully to another being in ways that I didn't even think were possible has been absolutely beautiful. And liberating in a way, also very restrictive, right? Because a lot of the time, the way I want to show up for my son means sacrificing or compromising what self-care used to mean for me. Mm-hmm. And motherhood has been, it's been a death process as much as it's been a rebirth process for myself. And you know, the fact that I did this over 40, I couldn't be more grateful for, because to be really honest with you, I'm not sure if I was ready for this level of devotion in my 20s and 30s. I would have figured it out, you know, and I would have been able to get the support that I needed and care for my child. But I'm at a place in my life where I can be very intentional about the kind of mother I want to be and how I want to use the transition from maiden to motherhood as a spiritual journey, as a teaching, as an initiation. And for me, I couldn't have done that when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was exploring the world still, and I had a lot of work I wanted to do and learning I wanted to do that meant traveling to the Amazon or, you know, working with this teacher over here or going into silent meditation for 10 days. I did a lot of work like that. That was really important for my own development and my own self-care. And I feel really, really grateful that I came to motherhood after I had done all of that work. My partner and I like to say, you know, we feel really grateful to ourselves that we waited as long as we did, because when we had our son, we had already arrived at a place where we're over ourselves. Like, it doesn't need to be about us anymore. We don't need to take this trip to this place or, we don't have to make as many compromises. We felt very ready to like make parenthood a truly devotional path. Mm. And that feels really good. It feels good to be able to give that to my son.
Yeah. Oh, that's so beautiful. And I love the acknowledgement that your life unfolded exactly the way that it was supposed to, right? And that's one of the guiding principles, I think, that, you know, so often we think that life has passed us by, and particularly there's so much conversation about motherhood and, you know, and we know what the research says and all of that. And yet I know mothers like you and stories where you hear about women who've had children, you know, past the age of 60, we don't really know what the source has. Like, even though, yes, we are co-creating our lives every step of the way, we can't really be attached to outcome. And your son came at the time that your son was supposed to come, and how beautiful it is that your partner and I, you and your partner know that and are willing to just immerse yourself fully in the world of your son to give him everything that he so deserves. And, you know, what just a tremendous gift that is. And so thank you for sharing that with us. So I would be remiss, right, if we didn't talk about those accessible ways that we can find liberation and stay grounded, both things that we can do for ourselves, like a self-Reiki practice or working with a practitioner to help us to find that liberation that we seek. So what are your top most accessible ways that you have found for people to really cultivate their healing?
Well, rather than taking a technical approach to that question, I'm going to take more of a conceptual one, and I'm going to allow people to apply it how they want to. Yeah. And so I think of it like this. One of the best pieces of advice I can offer people who are sort of navigating their healing path is to consider this. To heal, we have to find balance, right? And in this discussion of liberation, we talked about expansion and contraction. There's always a time for doing and a time for being, right? There's a day and a night. There's a cycle, a summer, a time to expand, and winter, a time to hibernate. And this is just like a law of nature. It's balance. And so anytime we're out of balance, we will usually hit a wall. Mm. So for those looking to create well-being on a healing journey, I offer this. Take stock of your life. Take stock of what it is that you're doing and check in. Is the path of growth you want to take the one that says, I'm going to be disciplined. I'm going to, you know, find an accountability buddy. I'm going to, like, you know, change the diet, and I'm going to really stick to those New Year's resolutions and sort of like take a more determined doing path? Or is the path of growth for myself right now one where I'm more gentle with myself? Perhaps someone is type A and they're constantly on a path for self-improvement, and they never take that time to sort of contract, to relax, to rest, to integrate all of the doing, right? And so take stock. Which one of those paths is the growth path for you in this moment? And if it's one where it's time to soften and be still and rest, like, what is self-care for you? How can you actually take some time to acknowledge yourself, to integrate all of your work, and to actually benefit from your efforts? And that might mean, like, you know, skipping your exercise. It might mean taking a bath when you don't usually. It might mean going to get a massage or a Reiki treatment or something where you're in a more of a receptive role. And if you're the type of person who, you know, has dreams and hopes and never takes action, and perhaps maybe you call yourself more lazy or too quick to abandon your dreams, then, like, maybe the growth path for you right now is to really create a plan for yourself. I'm going to work with an accountability coach. I'm going to kickstart some dietary changes. I'm going to have a regular meditation practice, and I'm going to hold myself accountable to doing it every day for 30 days, right? And so I think a lot of the time when we're not getting the results, it's because we're overcommitted to one of those paths. Oh. And if we can take a step back and say, oh, no, actually my healing and my growth path is to be more forgiving of myself when I don't do exactly what I said I was going to do. Or my growth path is actually to be a bit more committed to the goal that I'm headed towards. And that can have a really, really big impact.
Yeah. Oh, I love the two pathways and this individualization of wellness, right? So I've never heard it explained that way. And this is why, you know, an experience like this is so powerful, because like you said, this is my perspective. And there are so many different perspectives from healers, and all of them are really essential, right? For us to ponder and for us to pick the ones that are really resonating with us the most. Dr. Erica, we've come to the end of our interview, and really perfect timing, because I heard little man in the background. He is ready for his mama. And so with that, share with the audience how that they can stay in touch with you, because I know that they're going to want to do that. And I'm thinking that we're going to include the video that you did for us as a freebie on the four quadrants, right? When we partnered, because I think that people are going to want to know more about that. And I think it's a great way for them to continue to connect with you. So how can folks stay in touch with you?
Yeah, that's great. Well, Instagram is great. It's Experience Seven Senses. I'm pretty regular on there. And then that's also my website, experience7senses.com. Seven is spelled out. And yeah, there's a contact me button there. And I'd be happy to connect with anyone who feels really resonant with this perspective on healing and self.
Wonderful. Yeah. Oh my gosh. This is so good. So make sure that you follow her on Instagram, Experience Seven Senses. I do. And there's so much good content. And you know, what I love about what Dr. Erica puts out is that she doesn't hold back. You don't hold back. You're not trying to keep. You are very gracious. Now, of course, people are going to get a lot deeper support, right? If they're to engage with you. But I love how generous you are in helping to give people lots of opportunities to ponder their well-being. So thank you again for saying yes to this. I appreciate you so much. And I believe that you and I we have some more work to do in the future, but we'll see what that is. So thank you again. All right, everyone. You heard it here at the Women's Liberation Summit, Dr. Erica Matlug. Make sure that you connect with her and check out the video that we have available as a result of you being a part of this experience. Until next time, everybody. Ashay.